really concentrate. I have to run this, and I have to run this. I don't know if I can do this. Okay. So we're going to read some passages of Scripture together. First one is this one, and I'd like everybody to read this one together. There before me was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, tribe, people, and language, standing before the throne in front of the Lamb. They were wearing white robes and had palm branches in their hands. And they cried out with a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God, who sits on the throne and unto the Lamb." Here we see God's heart, that there be representatives from every tribe, people, nation, language. He uses several descriptors there, so nobody's excluded. You know, in the beginning, God created. He created our world perfect. And at the end of every day of creation, and God said it was good. And at the end of 7 days, God saw that it was very good. His original creation was perfect, good, just like he wanted it. But then something happened, and disobedience entered, and God's good creation was spoiled by sin and disobedience. And the rest of Scripture, we see that God is on mission. The God who created is on a mission to bring us back into that relationship for which he originally created us. He's seeking us so that we can join him and have the kind of life he created us to have and intended us to have, a very good life. And he's seeking to restore that life and his creation. And he entrusts that to his people. So God's mission is to restore the original good that he created. Jesus put it this way, "I am come to seek and to save that which was lost." That's all what Jesus was about. He's seeking to restore us to that original relationship we had enjoyed with the God who created us. And he's seeking to do that today. Let's read another passage that talks about this, and I'm going to ask all the men to read this. What? No, that didn't work. I'm missing something there. Matthew 24:14. Is that on the slide there? Okay. Something's happening with our PowerPoint. Okay, I'm going to have to read it then. Matthew 24:14 says, "This gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come." That is what God said. Jesus said this. "This gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come." And then 2 Peter 3:9 also says this, "The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance." In this passage, it was indicated that prior to this verse, that some of the people were wondering why Jesus hadn't come back yet. Jesus left with the promise that he was coming back. And they were saying, why is he waiting? Why hasn't he come back yet? Is the promise real? Is he saying the truth when he said he was going to come back? And Peter is saying here, God, he is not slow in keeping his promise, but he's patient, waiting so that anyone, not wanting anyone to perish, but that all would come to repentance. He hasn't come back yet. Maybe, because the last person that needs to come into his kingdom has not yet responded or had the opportunity to respond. So what's God's method to get this job done? And we see throughout history, God's method has always been his people, his chosen people. Each one of us is part of his method. We see in the Old Testament, God's method was to choose Noah. And he chose to save Noah's family and the animals through Noah. We see God chose Abraham. And God told Abraham, I will bless you, and through you all the families of the earth will be blessed. I will bless you, and through you all the families of the earth will be blessed. And we see as we go through Scripture how that promise to Abraham has been fulfilled through God's people, the Israelites and the church. But, you know, that passage is interesting. God said to Abraham, I will bless you so that all the families will be blessed through you. And you know, that principle, we are blessed to be a blessing. And as I have come back to Canada and live here now, I realize how much we are blessed. We are blessed. We are a blessed people. Oh yes, we can complain about the weather. We can complain about the economy. We can complain about all kinds of things. But in reality, we are blessed. I said to somebody who was complaining about taxes once, hey, come and join me in Guinea. There's a country where you don't pay taxes and you get all the benefits of not paying taxes. No roads, no electricity, no. Anyway, so we are blessed. And we are blessed, why? So we can bless others. That's why God has blessed us. Let's try this verse and see if it works. No, that's not the one. I'm going to have to work on my PowerPoint here and see why it's not working. Acts 1:8. Does somebody know that verse? Somebody probably knows that. Who would be able to recite that verse for us? But you shall receive. Okay? Out loud. Good and loud. Judea. Samaria. The ends of the earth, that's right. So here we see that God's method is his people. Jesus is giving this command not just to the 12, but to all those who were watching him ascend into heaven. Some say there were about 120 there. Others say there may have been even as many as 500 watching his ascension. And Jesus is saying to them, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses. Not, I'm asking you if you might please someday maybe be a witness for me. He's saying, you will be my witnesses. God's method is his people. He has chosen us. He has given us the privilege of taking his message to those around us who don't know it. What a privilege we have. What an opportunity he has entrusted to us. And then in 1 Peter 2:9, that's not it either yet, so. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. You are a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God. Why? that you may declare his the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. We are chosen by God to be priests to the people around us, priests to our children and our families, priests to those who we work with. What was the job of a priest? To represent and mediate God to the people and the people to God. And this is what God has chosen, a holy nation, people belonging to God. That's who we are. That's who we are in Christ. And God wants us to represent him to those around us. Now we can come to this verse, and I'm going to ask everybody to read it together. Maybe? Maybe? There. Let's read this one together. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Jesus told the crowd that day on the mountain as he was teaching them, seek first my kingdom and my righteousness. You know, I find it so easy every day to get caught up in concern about food on the table, clothes to wear, a shelter over my head. I mean, those are things we are concerned about. We have to be to live. But Jesus said that really shouldn't be our priority. He says our priority is his kingdom, his righteousness, his character. And as we put our focus on those things, he says, all of these other things, they'll come along. They'll be there for you. How well are we doing at representing our Creator to the world that needs him? Of getting the message of Jesus to those who don't have access to him at this point. Recently, Melody and I have been involved with a course called the Kairos Course. And in that course, it talks about God's heart for the nations. It talks about our part in that. We are blessed to bless others. And it talks about, it helps us to look at our world from a divine perspective, from God's perspective, and opens our eyes to that. And as we have gone through this course, and now we're facilitating it and helping others go through the course, we have really started to ponder on some questions. And I just want to share some of those questions with you. Now, I know these questions are statistically based. And so sometimes people go to sleep when you start talking statistics. I hope that doesn't happen today. But anyway, I just want to share with you a few questions and responses to them. Oh, you know what? There it is. No, that's not the one. Man. Okay. I'll give you the question. You won't get it up on the screen, and it won't be, you won't be able to see the statistics as well. But anyway, why is it that after more than 2,000 years of Christian mission, more than one-third of the world still has not heard the gospel of Jesus Christ? Why is it after 2,000 years that one-third of the population of the world still has not yet heard of the message of Christ? I wonder. Here's the situation. Of the 7.3 billion people in the world, 3 billion live among unreached people groups. That's people who do not yet have access to Jesus. And about 1.6 billion of these people are completely unevangelized. There is no one engaging them in mission or to trying to take the message of Jesus to them. They have no access to Jesus. 1.6 billion people. Why then are there still more than 7,000 people groups without a viable church? According to one database, and this is based on the Joshua Project, and if you want to, later on I hope I'll have a slide up that'll show, I don't know, maybe it was sending it over the internet or something. Anyway, according to one database, there are 16,500 people groups in the world. A people group is distinct language, distinct culture, distinct enough that they would need a separate scriptural translation of the Bible in order to understand. Okay? It's not talking nations or political boundaries. It's just talking groups of people who have a distinct identity. There are over 16,500 of them. 9,700 have been reached with the gospel, evangelized. They already have a church in their among their people who can reach out to the other people in their group. But there are 6,800 that do not have enough of a church to be evangelized. And so they need people to cross cultural and language and geographical barriers to take the message to them. 6,800 people groups still need access to Jesus of the 16,500. Then, the next question, why are the laborers so few? Why are there so few people engaging in giving access to Jesus to those people who have not yet heard? Let me tell you what the situation is. 91% of all Christian outreach and evangelism does not target non-Christians, but targets other Christians. 91%. Now, this is speaking not of our denomination. This is speaking globally in the Christian church. 91% do not target non-Christians, but target other Christians. And then, of the 140,000 Protestant missionaries, 74% work among nominal Christians, 8% among tribal people, 6% among Muslims, 4% among non-religious atheists, and 3% among Buddhists, 2% among Hindus, and 1% among Jews. So what's happening in our world? We have a lot of all of the Christian ministries, 91% are focused on other Christians or on people who are nominal Christians. And access to Jesus isn't available to a large number of people in the world. So why then are we so blessed by God, and when we are so blessed by God, do we consume it on ourselves and not use it to bless others who don't yet know him? That's a question we've been asking and pondering on. Why is it that when we are blessed by God, we consume it on ourselves and don't use it to bless others? Christians make up about 33% of the world's population. Now, that's every stripe of Christian, okay? Every stripe of Christian included makes up about a third of the world's population. But you know what? The Christian population of the world has 53% of the world's income. 53% of the world's income, and are using, and 98% of that income is being spent on ourselves, and only about 2% is being given to Christian ministry on an average. Now, it may be better in Mirror Lake Church, probably is, but you know, we talk about tithing. We talk about giving and all of that. 98%, that means only 2% is going to Christian ministry. Where does that leave us? Are we really seeking first His kingdom and His righteousness? Are we really seeking to do what He left us on earth to do? To represent Him to the people who don't know Him? To be priests in our world? Are we really doing that? I'm asking the question. Why does such a vast amount of our mission dollar get spent on the already reached peoples and so little on the least reached? Christian annual income is about $12.3 trillion. $213 billion is given to all Christian causes. That's about 1.7% of all of our income is being given to all Christian causes. I said 98 and 2. It's approximately that. 11.4% is given to foreign missions. But of the foreign missions dollar, only 87% of that is going to 87% of that is going to work already being done by, among a Christian population. And 12% goes to work among evangelized non-Christians, who people who've already got access to the message, and only 1% goes to the unevangelized or least reached people of the world. Is that how we should be spending our resources as churches? Now, I've got some good news for you. The Christian and Missionary Alliance requires every one of us as international workers in Canada now to identify that we are working with one of the least reached peoples in the world. They will not send us unless we are engaged in reaching out to one of the least reached people groups of the world. So when you give to the Global Advance Fund in your church or to the Missions Fund in your church, and that money goes to our office to be used, at least 70% of that is going to least reached and unreached peoples. That's quite a bit better than the 1% globally among Christians. So we are making a very intentional effort of getting, reaching out to the least reached. I should probably stop here and say, are there any questions? But I don't know how much time I have. Oh, there is a clock over there. Okay. Why this situation? We are so blessed. We've been given a new life in Jesus. We have His Holy Spirit living in us, helping us to live the kind of life God intends for us. We are blessed by God with new life in Christ. Now, one possible explanation of this is that ignorance. Maybe the people of God really don't know. And maybe because we don't know, we don't act. That's possible. So I'm trying to help that today. So you can't say, I don't know what the world situation is. Maybe you're ignorant of that it's God's purpose. His heart is that people be around the throne from every kindred, language, tongue, tribe, nation, you name it. He wants them there. He wants representation. Maybe it's ignorance of the world situation that we just talked about. Or maybe it's in ignorance as to how myself as an individual Christian, how can I make any difference? Ignorance of my gifts, ignorance of what God wants, can and wants to do with me. You know, many of us feel so inadequate. I'm just a little old person working in this sweat mill and I can't do anything. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. You can be a witness for Jesus. What's a witness for Jesus? It's somebody who tells what they've experienced. And every one of us has experienced something of Jesus. I would hope most of the people here have. And you can be a witness with what Jesus has done for you. Where you are, on the job, in the community. I think it's great that you have the kindergarten kids running through this building during the week. That's wonderful. I think it's great that the church can be in the community. And Muir Lake, that's one of the beautiful things of this church. You're from around here. And when you go out of these walls, you are Jesus' representative where you're living, where you're working, where your kids are going to school. You are his witnesses. So you can make a difference. Maybe another reason for the fact that we haven't really completed this task that Jesus entrusted to the church is because we have a faulty belief that reaching the world is for hired professionals. And you have to be a trained missionary or trained pastor in order to witness for Jesus. I'm sorry, I don't read that in my Bible. He says, all of us are witnesses. Or maybe, just maybe, it might be that Jesus really isn't Lord or top priority in our life. Have you thought of that? Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. What's your priority? What's your focus in life? So how can we get back in tune with God's heart for the world? How can we make that happen? Well, one, change the focus of my life. I'm here for kingdom purposes, not for my comfort. Is that your focus? I'm here for kingdom purposes. My main reason for being on earth is to seek first his kingdom, to bring his kingdom to the world around me, where I am, with what I have, however I can do it. Change the focus. Make his kingdom and his righteousness the primary focus of your life. It's amazing how that can transform how we look at shopping in the grocery store. I know a lady who purposely shops at Superstore because she says all the new Canadians shop at Superstore. And so she goes up and down the aisles with her cart looking for people who look like they're struggling to read a label on something or figure something out. And then she stops and she just says, "Can I help you with something?" And she helps them read the labels and starts to talk to them. And many of these people are new Canadians, and they're struggling because they don't know English, or maybe even French. And so she helps them, begins to develop a relationship with them, and begins to find out a little bit about them. Just a simple thing like shopping. But she's being very intentional for kingdom purposes in her shopping. We can all do that kind of thing. Then learn. The second thing we can do is learn. The first thing is change the focus. The second thing is learn. What? How can you learn? Well, one thing, I talked about a course called the Kairos course. And I don't know if it'll come up on the screen or anything, but it won't. Okay, sorry. I sent this by internet and it didn't come. I should have given my stick this morning. Anyway, there's a kairoscourse.org. If you Google that, you can find out where the Kairos courses are being offered, and you can learn about God's heart for the nations. And then engage. And you know, this is probably the hardest step. is actually getting up and doing something. I find I have lots of great ideas, but they never happen till you get off your chair and start to do something about the idea. And so engage, take steps for and decide to do something. Now I'm going to suggest three things you can possibly do. One is subscribe to the joshuaproject.net daily prayer focus. In the Joshua Project, they will send you every day a blurb about one of the least reached peoples of the world, one of the peoples that do not have access to Jesus. They will send you a little description of that people. And Melody and I have been doing this for a while and praying for those people. And you can start praying for these least reached people that God will bring access to them. You know what? In the early 90s, the church and missions started to put a focus on the Muslim world. And I remember there was a lot of talk about the Middle East, North Africa, about praying for the Muslims, praying for the Muslim groups of people, and praying that they would come into the kingdom of Christ. And you know what's happened since the 90s? There are more Muslims today responding to the faith in Christ than at any time in history. Across North Africa, the Berber populations, there are hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of Berbers who have come to faith in Christ. In Iran, there are huge numbers of people turning to faith in Christ. Across the Middle East, Muslims are becoming disenchanted with their way of faith and are turning to Jesus. Why? Because the church got serious about this large group of people who didn't yet have access to Jesus and started to pray, started to focus resources, started to send people, started to put in special broadcasts into languages in those areas, and now we're seeing people respond. It can happen for the 2,300 unreached people groups in India who yet need to be reached. It can happen for the 6,500 or 7,000 unreached people groups of the world if we get serious and pray. JoshuaProject.net, and you Google that and you go on and sign up for their daily prayer focus, and you can pray for one of these people groups each day of the year. Decide to do something. Another thing you can decide to do is start to give to mission. The Global Advance Fund of the Christian Missionary Alliance supports your international workers. I don't know if you have it on your offering envelope. I didn't check your envelope. But if there's a missions line on your offering envelope, that goes to the Global Advance Fund and helps to keep missionaries working among least reached peoples of the world. Why don't you consider giving $50 a month to Global Advance? That's not very much. What? 10 cups of coffee? Not bad. Can you do that? Regularly, faithfully, every month. And as we do that together, we will see, have the resources to send the people we need to send in order to give access to Jesus. Why don't you consider doing that? There's a pledge card on the, it's a blue, I thought I had one, but I didn't. It's a blue card on the table out there. Fill it out on the back and say how much you're willing to do a month and hand it into your church. And just as a commitment, I'm going to give this much a month to the Global Advance. Decide. Do something. You might want to contact a worker, an international worker in another part of the world, and start a correspondence with them. Maybe go and visit them. See where they're living and working. Discover what their needs and issues are and become knowledgeable about their situation and pray for them. We are so thankful for the over 400 people, or 300 I guess it is, people who have stood with us through 31 years in Guinea and prayed for us regularly. I do not think we could have stayed there without those people. Will you engage to pray for somebody who's trying to give access to Jesus to people who live in very difficult circumstances, very difficult situations, and who face danger all the time? Would you stand with them? Take some steps. Decide. Pray. JoshuaProject.net. Give. Global Advance Fund. Go and support and encourage an international worker. Get in touch with them. Get informed. What's God calling you to do? In response to what he's called us all to do, to be a kingdom of priests, to take his message to those who've not yet heard. Would you take a moment right now to bow your head, close your eyes, and just ask Jesus what he would like you to do in response to what you've heard today? I'm not going to ask you to stand up or come forward or anything. I'm asking you to do just talk to Jesus and ask him how you can respond to what you've heard today, you personally. And then do it this week. Our Father, you have truly blessed us. We are a blessed people, blessed to have eternal life in Jesus, blessed with financial resources that much of the world has absolutely no dream of ever having, blessed with family and friends around us, blessed with church community, Father. How privileged we are. Help us in our blessed state to be a blessing to others and to do our part to take your message of love, your message of hope to people who do not yet have access to Jesus, whether it be on the job, in our community, or whether it be to take your message to part of the world where people have never had an opportunity to hear. Help us to follow through on what you put in our hearts today. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Stories of what they think you're like, but I've heard the tender whisper of love in the dead of night, and you tell me that you're pleased and that I'm never alone. Good, good Father, it's who you are, it's who you are, it's who you are, and I'm loved by you, it's who I am, it's who I am, it's who I am. I've seen many searching for answers far and wide, but I know We're all searching for answers. Only you provide, 'cause you know just what we need before we say a word. You're a good, good Father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are. And I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am. Oh, you're perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways.